I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Some of these very like finite, just, you know, one-to-one kind of aspects of remote work versus office work, I think there's a lot of benefits there. But then like kind of zooming out a bit more macro, I mean, there's, you take that same commute and multiply it by hundreds of millions of people every single day. And think about the environmental effects of if people weren't commuting to work. Think about the democratization of opportunity. All of a sudden, people all around the world in impoverished countries and countries that otherwise are not getting access to good job opportunities just because they happen to be born on some other side of some imaginary line, now can get work and work for reputable companies and get training and education and you know, have a career. So I think these things are just some of the high level positive aspects, you know, work-life balance, better opportunities for people around the world, environmental impacts. And I could understand if someone looked at it and said, well, there's bigger fish to fry out there. And I would totally agree. But I do think remote work provides some opportunities to make some real headway in these areas.
How you dare? That was the voice of Chase Warrington. Now, Chase is an incredible gentleman who has been an expat, an American expat, who lives in Spain with his wife. And it's so fun to meet people who are living out their ethos in different parts of the world. In the podcast, you're going to hear how he decided to create a work that fit his lifestyle, or lifestyle that fits his work, or work and lifestyle fusion, whichever one you choose to go with. But it's fascinating hearing him light up as he talks about what, you know, he does for work and how he's really embracing what the future of work is. I hope that as you're listening to this, you are thinking to yourself, hey, I can actually fuse my passion with my work. We dive into the future of work, as I said earlier, but also what it's like to be remote, especially now where we're living in a life without borders. Make sure to check the show notes so you can catch his podcast and follow him and his adventures. And till next time, enjoy the episode. Welcome everyone to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And I'm talking today with Chase Warrington. Now, Chase is a globally minded professional with 12 years of remote work experience leading distributed teams from locations across the United States, Europe, Asia, and South America. The head of remote of Doist. He helps them lead remote first generation. Let me say it again. There we go.
Yeah, you do it live. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Welcome everyone to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is Chase Warrington. Now, Chase is a globally minded professional with 12 years of remote work experience leading distributed teams from locations across the United States, Europe, Asia, and South America. Head of remote at Doist, the creators of Todoist and Twist, and a leading remote first organization with 100 plus employees spread across 30 plus countries spanning all time zones. We're going to be diving into so many topics today. I got to say, my favorite thing about Chase is I was reading his bio on his website and I found that his dog has a passport. So welcome to the show, Chase.
Man, just thank you for having me. And you know what? That's a normal thing in my life. My dog is always way cooler and way more popular than I am.
You know, I've never had a pet before. So I hear that though. I hear that often. Yeah. When people walk in, you know, they stop to say hi to the dog and then they forget the person's there. And then I'm like,
I've had people walk up to me here on the streets in Spain, you know, and just say like, I don't remember you, but I love Coda. You know, I'm like, man, You're blatant about it. All right.
That's brilliant. No. Okay. Your story is fascinating because you're also a third culture kid. You're a TCK. And for those listening for the first time, generally third culture kids spend the formative periods of their lives outside of their parents' cultures. You know, they're typically global mobile. You know, I was a diplomatic kid. Some might be missionary kids. Some might be army kids. But you find yourself in different parts of the world all the time. Your culture, your parents' culture, and the mix of all the cultures. Those are the three cultures. But what was your background like growing up?
Yeah, I love, first of all, like, thanks for having me. And I love listening to the show and I love hearing about your background as growing up as a third culture kid and kind of applying it to like my adulthood now, because I've been spending a lot of my life, at least after 18 years old, traveling around, living in different cultures. I kind of became passionate about wanting to experience something different. And it's kind of become sort of the cornerstone of my life in this part of my life. So I'm sort of experiencing it from a different angle.
As an adult, which has been really fun.
Yeah. As an adult, which has been cool. Like, cause you're kind of reforming. I mean, we're evolving constantly. Right. So I'm like reforming parts of my life and my interests and what matters to me and what doesn't. And learning about that through the lens of a different culture. And it's been super interesting. So right now it's life in Spain, but it's been a half a dozen other countries, at different times over the last, 15 years or so.
You know, I'm a writer. I can always tell a creative when a person would say half a dozen instead of six, you know, or a decade instead of 10. It's just that descriptive language.
I know how it is. Like when you're hosting, like when you have a podcast, right? You're like, how do I say the same thing in a different way every now and then? So I don't sound repetitive. So maybe that comes intuitively.
No, it's so funny. This is a bit of a tangent, but I had my brother come over here. You know, he comes over once in a while. I have two younger brothers, so my youngest, and he'll hear me recording or listening or introducing myself in meetings. And then there'll be a point where I say, you know, I grew up in five countries and four continents. And it got to the point where he would stand in front of me and start mouthing it. I grew up in five countries and four continents. And he was making fun of me. I was like, what? It's a different person. It's not like the same. They don't know the story. But I had gotten so used to that. It became the moniker. But yeah, you definitely get used to descriptive language.
My wife also tells me that sometimes she's like, you just said that in podcaster voice. Like, she's like, I don't know, whatever you said, you sounded like you're in your podcast mode. I'm like, do I sound different? I'm trying to be real here, man.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. But if we wanted to talk about how your professional life and personal life intersect, is you are currently the head of remote at Doist. First of all, what is Doist? And I know we've had the founder here a while ago, but we've had a lot of new listeners since then. But what is Doist and how does being head of remote really help you feel fulfilled?
Yeah. So Doist is we're a fully remote company. We're a remote first organization is the way we phrase it. And by that, I mean, we have no emphasis on where our employees are located. So we have 100 people in 35 different countries spanning all time zones. And we legitimately do not hire at all based on location. We have no offices. We don't care what hours you work. We don't expect people to be online at the same time. It is a total asynchronous, remote first environment. So that's kind of like who we are. What we do is we produce a couple different apps. Todoist is what we're most well known for, which is like a productivity app. We serve like 25 million customers with our little 100-person team, which is pretty cool, I think. And we localize that into like 17 different languages. So it's a very globally minded company, which is what really attracted me to the company. Like, cool, I can work location independent. I'm going to work on a very international team and we're going to serve the world. That sounds great. We also developed a product called Twist, which is a team communication app for distributed teams just like us. We actually like just built it for ourselves because we didn't like the other products on the market. And now we sell it to other teams. That's worked out well for us. But that's a little bit of the background on Doist. But what really kind of brought me to Doist was the idea that, hey, I could work with all these people from all around the world. We can serve people productivity tools. That sounds cool. But what really lights me up is the future of work, what remote work could be if it's done at scale. So when I joined them 6 years ago, I was really seeking location independence. And I had already made other sacrifices in my career just to have remote work. And that meant like being a couple hours from an office, being able to work from home and occasionally having to travel to an office. I just didn't want to sit in a cubicle, but I couldn't travel wherever I wanted. I couldn't live wherever I wanted. I was still restricted. And yeah. even to get that, I had to make a lot of sacrifices professionally, income wise, all that. There were sacrifices along the way. And then when I made the transition to Doist, again, making sacrifices to have location independence financially and professionally. And I just never understood, like, why does that have to be the case? You know, we can do our work from anywhere. All this work could be done from anywhere. I don't know why I keep having to take these steps back. So what really hooked me was the thought that, hey, as head of remote, I can help push forward the remote movement. I can help this become something that's done at scale across the world, where it becomes the norm and not the exception.
Yeah.
And that's what lights me up.
Now, I love how you're explaining that, because I had a mirror back in, like, it was April 2016. I was a different version of myself back then. And I remember him talking about how it started in 2007. I'm hearing you talk, and there's an interesting parallel, because for me, sometimes I have people on the podcast and you never know, right? If they're going to be consistent with the story years down the line. But it's so good to see that core ethos of ensuring people work, you know, where they want, how they want, has remained, you know, prominent, because not a lot of companies have been able to do that consistently. And I believe Deuce is one of the leaders in that. So that's always fun to see that consistency.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
We try to stick to the ethos.
Well, the other thing though, that I want to say, listen to your story. I can't help but think about how many people since the pandemic have started to really take ownership of the type of work environment they want to work in. I saw a stat the other day that a lot of, United States, a lot of Americans are quitting jobs, or there are a lot of job vacancies because they're demanding higher salaries or better working conditions. And I wonder if the pandemic or the idea of people having to work from home for a little bit really gave people insight into what the future could look like. What do you think?
I tend to think so, and the data supports it. You know, I mean, there's the, what are they calling it? Do you recall? Is it the Great Migration or the Great Resignation? The Great Resignation.
That could be the Great Resignation. Yeah.
And so, I mean, people are demanding something different. You know, people learned what could be done. I think I kind of liken, like, remote work and what it will become right now is kind of like, when you go work for a US company these days, you sort of expect, like, there's going to be a benefits package, you know, there's going to be 401k and certain perks and things like that. I kind of think remote will become this in a similar way, part of what you expect, you know, not a perk, not an add-on, but if you want to work remotely, you'll have that option. And that will be supported in a way where you don't feel like an outsider as a remote worker, but you'll be as much a part of the team as somebody who's in an office or closer to the leadership or whatever it may be. So I think it's going to be expected that it's done at a very high level. And that's the reason my position exists, is to ensure that we keep doing it at a very high level.
No, I certainly hope so. What do you do with visas though? Because you said you can work anywhere in the country, and as a non-citizen, I've been dealing with visas since I can remember. So how does that work? Because are you, what country is Doist listed as the headquarters? What is the work visa situation like?
Yeah. So we've lived as a company, has been founded in multiple different countries over the years, but we are now firmly established in the US, in Silicon Valley and Palo Alto,
okay.
which is for a variety of reasons. It doesn't really need to be in any one place, but it gives you a certain level of notoriety with some of the other,
of course,
with the Googles of the world. So, we were at one point in the Bahamas. We were founded in the Seychelles, I think. So we really just needed a place to get mail every now and then, I think. And there's nobody there, but everybody's working from where they want to work from in their various countries. So some people live like really normal lives, like they're living in the suburb outside of Chicago or Minneapolis and just, you know, living a normal life. And then you got other people that are living on Croatian islands and New Zealand. And, you know, so it runs the gamut.
No, but do they have to get, you know, so for me, I had to get the work visa from an American company when I was, I remember before I was able to launch my own company. And so did they get work visa to an American company? They still have to get approved? Or is it just, hey, you're in this country, we'll hire you,
Yeah. It works out. So the way this works is we hire everybody as an independent contractor. So everybody's their own individual employee of themselves. And then but you're a full-time employee.
Perfect.
But there are companies emerging to tackle this. So like, this is one of the cool things. Like there's employers of record emerging that are taking this on, and they're going even further than just like hiring and firing. They're creating, you know, benefits packages and medical insurance. Like, think about for us, it doesn't matter if we offered medical insurance, 90% of our employees would be like, why do we need that? My government provides medical insurance. I live in Denmark, you know, everything's covered. I don't need medical insurance. But so there's all these products and services emerging for distributed teams like this to solve those problems. So it's kind of fun to watch.
Now, as you can tell, I'm really passionate about this because immigration and just understanding the equity and the inequities that exist there based on whatever nationality you are, whether it has to do with you know, problems in one's home country or people just finding passion or finding love and coming across restrictions. It's something that I've seen happen to family and to people around me. And it always hurts when I see someone get a huge opportunity and all of a sudden, because of a quota or something, can't get, you know, past that barrier. So it's interesting to see that independent contractor route. Huh.
Yeah. It touches close to home to me too, because, you know, I've lived in a handful of countries. I fought that visa battle hard and have visa hopped in and out of country, you know, done so much to try to make it work just to be like, hey, I just want to stay in your country, you know, for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I do get it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what this can do on a global scale. I know you're incredibly passionate about this and you feel like there are a lot of opportunities, especially now with the movement towards distributed teams, and you feel like there's a positive impact that it can have on a global scale. Why do you feel like that?
I feel like there's on a very micro level, in a remote environment, a lot of the preconceived norms that we're used to kind of go out the window. So like, if you imagine the traditional office, you know, there's a commute involved every day. So I think the average American spends like 47 minutes a day commuting to and from work. And you know, for some people that's hours a day.
Yeah.
You think about the fact that when you walk into the office, you just kind of get credit for just being there. It's not a super stimulating environment. I love the meme that's flying around that says, like, you know, must be willing to work in a fast paced environment. It shows the picture of the terrible cubicle office is like the environment. And the work life balance that can come with, you know, being able to spend more time with your family and have a more flexible schedule that works around the needs of the family. More so than the needs of the office. And so on, you know, on some of these very like finite, just, you know, one-to-one kind of aspects of remote work versus office work, I think there's a lot of benefits there. But then like kind of zooming out a bit more macro, I mean, there's, you take that same commute and multiply it by hundreds of millions of people every single day and think about the environmental effects of if people weren't commuting to work. Think about the democratization of opportunity. All of a sudden, people all around the world in impoverished countries and countries that otherwise are not getting access to good job opportunities just because they happen to be born on some other side of some imaginary line now can get work and work for reputable companies and get training and education and you know, have a career. So I think these things are just some of the high level positive aspects, you know, work-life balance, better opportunities for people around the world, environmental impacts. And I could understand if someone looked at it and said, well, there's bigger fish to fry out there. And I would totally agree. But I do think remote work provides some opportunities to make some real headway in these areas.
Well, I mean, we spend most of our lives in some workplace or, you know, some education institution of some sort. So that I think if you're going to work to greatly rectify a problem that has existed in the workplace, I think I would argue that you're doing a great service to the world. I think a lot of us sort of saw that in the last 15 months where we started really seeking some sort of fulfillment and we had to question the norms that we've accepted. And I work in the consulting space where I'm helping companies with diversity, inclusion, and equity. And one of the things I would always bring about with inclusion is hiring people from different backgrounds. And a lot of companies that always said no before found themselves having to go remote during the pandemic. And it just made me think, you could always do it. Why? You could always have done it. Now you said that you needed to have this physical presence here. And now when this happens, you've done it. And look what's happened to your company. It seems to be thriving. So I think it's
All of a sudden, you got all these different backgrounds coming in, you know, people throwing ideas from different angles and different perspectives of life. Like, I mean, how could that be a bad thing? You know, it's when it gets very homogenous, it gets stale, I think. So, I'm big proponent for this aspect.
Okay. Well, so on the personal side, now, obviously, I believe you live with your wife in Spain right now, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And so, what does that conversation look like? Did you meet her in Spain, or was it a decision both of you decided upon is that we are going to be traveling? This is our mindset. And this is how we go. And I'm asking this question because a lot of listeners say, well, I want to be this way, but I don't know if I have a partner that agrees with me on this philosophy, or do I have to stop that? So
no, it's funny. I talk about some of, normally the conversation goes in the other direction from the way we just approached it. Like, I talk about these things that are important to me about remote work now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, but that's 36-year-old Chase. selfishly, I really wanted to work remotely and have location independence just because I wanted to travel and I wanted to be able to work from wherever and not sit in a cube, but also like go explore, you know, Patagonia when I wanted to go to Patagonia, or travel through Europe when I wanted to travel through Europe. And that was what really drove me immediately, when I was a bit younger. So it's evolved over time to hopefully a more impactful way to approach this. But my wife and I, we're both aligned. We're both Americans. We met in college and we just both wanted to eventually have this. Neither of us had location independence immediately out of school, but we set it as a goal, like eventually we're going to get there. And we did the digital nomad thing for a while. We sold our house and left our careers and traveled for a while and had that chapter as well. But now we kind of have, you know, the best of both worlds, I think, where we have the professional aspect, we're location independent, and we decided to live in Spain for what we thought was a year, and now it's been 4 years.
Just wanted to stop by here before we get back to the episode. I wanted to let you all know that I do have a collective for people who are interested in developing their cultural competency skills, becoming more anti-racist, and it's a resource of things that you can do with your family, with your school, with yourself to work through your individual journey to become a better culturally competent leader. It's called UID Collective, and the link is in the show notes, but it's a mix of courses, it's a mix of resources, things you can download, and all you need to do is sign up as a member. It's a monthly membership. I'd love for you to check it out, use it with your friends, use it with your family, use it with yourself. Okay, the link is in the show notes. It's called UID Collective, and it's for those of you that want to improve your cultural competency skills. Back to the episode.
Hey, no, I love that. I love that. And I'm so glad to hear that there's alignment there, because I can imagine what it would be like if there wasn't. And it's a beautiful thing, because it sounds like, if I'm following your social media, you two truly live your life to the fullest. You know, there's always a lot of joy that emanates from the pictures. And it's almost like you're curious and you're exploring what the possibilities could exist, and you have a lifestyle that supports that.
Yeah, we have fun. I mean, there's Instagram versus reality. That could be true.
This too, is true, you know,
but
it's true.
But no, we do. I mean, I feel really lucky. You know, we I do feel there was, you know, sacrifices made along the way. That's like two steps back to take three steps forward, you know, over a couple year period. But it does feel great now to be able to live in Europe and have that, you know, every day stepping out into a new culture and hearing different languages. And when the mundane becomes exciting because you get to live that way, then that's kind of like what I was shooting for. So
yeah,
I feel lucky to have that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things you've been lucky to also do is to work across different types of careers. So I, you know, as the investigator that I am, I saw that you are a US and European correspondent for China Daily.
Yeah.
And then you had like this 2-year gap and you went to Johnson & Johnson, which is one of the biggest companies in the world. So talk to me about these two. They couldn't be more different. What was happening?
Yeah. So, okay. So what happened? When I was 18, I had never left the country, never left the US, and I decided like I was dying to. And immediately went to Australia and spent time down in Australia and New Zealand, and came back and was just like, well, I'm addicted to that now. So I just have to figure out how to travel as much as I can during college. And so that resulted in, you know, study abroads and internships abroad and exploring any opportunity I could to get abroad, because I thought, you know, I had a 4 or 5 year timeline, and then, oh, I got to start your career. You got to go to, go to, you know, get on with life and grow up, I guess.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that correspondent in Beijing was, I participated in a program where I got to like work with a bunch of Chinese students all year. And they came here, we went there, we collaborated on this big project. And then, after that terminated, I got to stay around and work in Beijing for the summer. And work as a correspondent, basically before leading up to the Olympics there, talking about the perspective of a foreigner living in Beijing. It was pretty fun. And then I went to work with Johnson & Johnson and spent 6 years there. And then that's when I decided like, okay, now I really need location independence. Remote work's been cool, but I need to be able to go where I want to go. I tried to negotiate like, legit, I want to go work in Patagonia for a few months and like travel around South America, and I'll work while I'm down there, but I got to be able to go do that. And it was like, no, we can't do that. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going anyway.
And you did it.
With or without you.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And I'm bringing that up because when people decide what they want to do with their life, there's a moment where they have to just basically affirm themselves and decide what they're going to do, regardless of what maybe society is telling them to do. You know, I remember when I was graduating, or even when I was getting into college, my dad wanted me to be a lawyer. You know, mom wanted me to try medicine. There were a bunch of all these things. And I had to come to a point where I realized that I'm more of a storyteller and someone that likes to bridge culture divides. But there wasn't a career path for that. So I had to find a way to craft that. And someone else listening and the audience is probably going to have to get to that point themselves. But it usually starts with like what you're saying. You embed yourself in maybe traditional environments and you start to pick out what you like and what you don't like. And that gives you more information. Then you chart on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think it can be like a progression. Like we want instant gratification now. You know, everybody wants to like have exactly what they want right away. And I knew at a relatively young age, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, I was really fascinated by just being in a foreign place. Like literally it can stop right there. Just put me in a foreign place and I'm kind of like lit up. I'm intellectually and I get, I'm just excited to taste some different food and hear some different languages. And that's all I need. I didn't know how to parlay that into a career. But I kept kind of putting that at the center of everything I did. And it eventually got me to you know, where I really wanted to be. So it didn't happen overnight, but there was a progression there. And I was happy at every stage of the way, you know, some ups and downs, but it was always moving in the right direction.
Yeah. 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 No. And yeah, you know, kudos to you for being an inspiration on that. And I think we all need those reminders. So I'm glad that you're here. What else do you see in terms of the future though? Because, you know, there is some pushback to the idea of remote. There are some companies who are chomping at the bit to get back to physical, and there are some who are exploring hybrid and some who are now fully remote. But I don't know what the stats are. I just hear occasionally anecdotally from friends who,
you know, dread the idea of going back to work now, but the companies have just said, we'll give you to the end of the year and then you're coming back. So how do you see that playing out in the next few years? Will company be more hybrid or go back to norm?
Hybrid's going to be the norm, like all statistics show, you know, around 75% of companies will be in some form of a hybrid mode. That's what they project right now. And that seems to be true. I was just doing a webinar for the Society for Human Resource Management, SHRM, yesterday, and they had a bunch of human resource managers on there. And those were exactly the numbers that came up. Those are the national averages, the world averages. And in this smaller pool of a couple hundred people, it was the exact average. Around 75% of them said, yeah, we'll be hybrid. So it seems ridiculous. There's a lot of people in the world that I work in that, you know, that are very remote first advocates. And they would say like, no, remote first is the way. My view on it is that it should be location agnostic, meaning that let's just make the experience of in office the same as the experience of out of office. And that's how a company could actually have the best of both worlds. There are a lot of challenges with hybrid, mainly how do you give the same experience to the employee in the office versus the one out of it? How do you avoid those power vacuums and make it not a miserable experience for the remote employees? But with an emphasis on location agnostic, just saying everyone gets the same experience. And with that really means applying like remote first principles. I think it can work.
I think so too. I just wanted to get your thought on it because, you know, I usually get asked the same question, and I've always thought this even before it became this, I just always thought it would make more sense for people to have that location independence, especially with the internet at the time. And I just think it took a while for some companies to catch on, but I think now we can see that it doesn't actually lose productivity. I think that's always been the biggest pushback, that how do I check if they're doing the actual work? You know, how do I make sure that there's a level of accountability? But
you know what I always think so funny about that? The answer to that question is so obvious. It's look at the work. it's like if you were writing a book, you know, and I was like, I really want to know if you're writing the book. Like, but how do I know if he's writing the book? I know. I'll ask him to write it while I watch him on a Zoom call. That's how I'll know he's writing the book. And it's like, no, why don't you just once a week send me what you wrote or tell me what you wrote and give me a deadline? And then it works for everybody. And you can write it when you feel like writing. It's, I don't know. I there's this overemphasis on surveillance and like knowing what people are doing, which doesn't really equate to much value.
It doesn't. And the other thing that is also important to understand is that everybody has different productivity hours. But if you force people to be productive during the same time, you know, obviously it'll benefit some people, but you're not even maximizing the potential of the other people who might, I don't know, be night people or morning people or midday people. And then you're just saying, do it around this time. But if you just gave them that freedom, you know, they'll figure it out because they know that they have to check it out to you.
Yeah, that's a cheat code of remote work. If you really allow it, like you can literally, I can take all my employees and get their best 8 hours of the day rather than getting, you know, four or five of their best hours out of the day. I mean, my schedule is I wake up super early and I love a really long midday lunch break. So I work from like 7 to 11 and then have like a 3 or 4 hour break and then work 3 or 4 more hours in the afternoon. And like, that doesn't match up with a 9 to 5 at all.
No, it doesn't.
But if I had to work a 9 to 5, I would be, you'd get 2 good hours out of me. So it's not a really good ROI. I used to be in biz dev. Like, you know, those numbers don't match up.
No, they don't. Well, okay. You've matched up with so many people across the world with your podcast. So let's talk about, you know, about abroad.
Thanks. This is a side project I launched that I've been thinking about for a while, but it was kind of born from the idea that as remote work got, because of the space that I'm in with remote work and being an expat living in another country and having lived in a handful of different countries, as remote work was on the rise, my inbox was sort of filling up with like, hey, I love the lifestyle you're living. I would love to do it too. Do you have any advice on living in X country or how one could find location independent work or whatever. So I just, I thought about something that I would love to do to, other than responding to a bunch of those emails all the time and LinkedIn messages and such. I thought, well, it would be fun to learn how to do a podcast. And I've been blown away by the support from the audience and a friend of ours at over at Insured Nomads, Andrew Jernigan, and their support for the show. And so anyway, yeah, it's been great. I talked to expats and thought leaders on remote work, people who are living abroad, full-time digital nomads, and kind of dive into like, how do you make this work? You know, how do you get a visa for this country, or do you have to pay taxes there? And do, you know, how did you find work, and what's it like living in Sri Lanka or Japan or wherever? So it's a lot of fun. It's a way for me to travel, you know, kind of through their stories as well, which is a lot of fun for me.
No, I can see why, because you know, I don't think we've had this level of education in the school systems. And so it's one of my biggest frustrations is it's, you know, sometimes it's told from, you know, maybe a US centric or Eurocentric point of view, but just as we are learning from all these centric point of views, there are other perspectives that, you know, you could also see from and look at the world from. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to get other lived experiences on a podcast.
It's so fun too. Like, I mean, it's like completely stimulating and intellectual, and then also just pure fun. Just hearing, I interviewed a guy the other day that's living in the South Pole, like living in Antarctica, you know, and like what's life in Antarctica? Like, I never even thought about this, you know? And so just kind of like traveling to these different parts of the world and then actually figuring out the mechanics of making it happen. It's pure joy for me.
That's so wild. You know, as the older I get, you realize the world is small than you think it is, yet it's still big. It's one of the greatest paradoxes, right? It's so large, but it's also increasingly small the more you meet different types of people. I mean, you and I had a mutual friend, you know, like we didn't know each other. You know, that's an element of a small world. But then you're talking about the South Pole, and I'm like, I've never even crossed that part of the world. And I can only imagine that type of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the world is getting flatter and smaller. It's easy. My brother just came over here and visited for the first time, and like, he's not much of a traveler. He's really doesn't have a desire to leave, you know, the lifestyle that he has. And he came over and he was like, wow, that was really quick. You know, like, I was here in 15 hours. Like, I had breakfast there. I'm having dinner here. Not really that bad. I should have done this before. I'm like, yeah, that's what I've been telling you.
Yeah, it's a good reset too. And I always say you find yourself more when you travel, just because you're in situations that will actually challenge you to either be more of yourself, or they will trigger something in you that you didn't realize was part of you. And I'm like, you got to travel so you can see it, because you're in a foreign environment.
It's like the best form of education. I mean, you just absorb so much, and then you're challenging yourself, and you find out who you are. And I've seen so many people, I don't know if you've had this experience as well, but like myself included and other people I've known around me, like they really kind of found themselves once they got out of their comfort zone at home. And
I did.
I would. Yeah. Is that the case for you?
Oh, 100%. I was growing up in all these formative periods of my life, and I just had to really start determining what my core values were. And it came to a point where I decided who I was going to be, because I used to just always float and become this chameleon, but I had to find the balance of the chameleon and who Tayo is, you know, cause I was losing myself, at a huge identity crisis, but you know, it helped.
I resonate with that. I had the same experience, I think. Yeah. And being abroad kind of made me counterbalance all those things and figure out, okay, yeah, who am I really here, and what do I really love doing? And that was pivotal.
100%. Well, I know we're getting to a close here, so I want to give you an opportunity to share what you're excited about, any opportunities you want to extend to the audience, and then we'll close.
Yeah. Well, first of all, yeah, thanks for having me. Super fun. Glad to finally meet and enjoy the show. And I would just encourage people to reach out to me if they're interested in talking about remote work, both on an individual level or an organizational level. We want to be as much of an assistant in that role as possible. So, you know, we're not a remote work consulting firm or anything like that, but my job partly exists just to help push the future of work forward. So find me on LinkedIn, find me on trying to be a better Twitter citizen. You can find me on Twitter. My podcast is About Abroad. So you can find me there as well. I'm excited. Just launched a third season.
Nice.
And have some exciting people up lined up to come up this season. So we're going to be traveling all over the world through them. And in general, what I'm excited about is where we are with the remote work movement and the adoption rates around the world. And then I'm really excited to see how we can put it to use for more good, on a more global scale.
Well, I'm excited about that too. And then I'll make sure I'll put the link in the show notes to your podcast as well as, you know, your company. Cause you know, I can imagine there are hiring opportunities as well. But you know, also just an idea for other people to get educated through your guest and yourself. Podcast.
On that note, I should mention we have an awesome blog with a ton of remote work resources. Whether you are an aspiring remote worker or you're somebody who's trying to level up your skills, or maybe even like an organization trying to figure out how do I make this work, I talk to them every single day, and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And you're not alone if you're in that boat. So don't be shy about asking for some help. But we have a whole blog dedicated to this. It's blog.doist.com. And there's a remote work section with tons of content there.
Okay. Well, the final question is, how do you use your difference to make a difference, Chase?
Well, I guess I'm going to continue on my remote work nerd trend here and say, since I care so much about this movement, it's served me so well. And I'm so excited about what it can hold for the future of humanity. I want to continue to push this forward and dive deeper into that nerdism.
Okay. That nerdism is literally going to change the world. So I'm glad to be able to meet one of the change agents spearheading that movement. And it's been a real pleasure, sir.
Yeah. Likewise. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me. And till next time, kings, queens, and royalty, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.